This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Throws it off down low to Zubac. Layup won't go. Blocked by Jokic. Loose ball comes down to Murray. Denver looking to go up 12. Layup was good! 57-45 Denver. It's their big lead of the night.
A game seven that saw Denver advance on Westwood 1, going ahead and taking out the LA Clippers. Last night, the Warriors bounced the Rockets, so we get Draymond versus Gobert. Round two. Good morning, Metroplex. The entire morning squad is back together again. In case you did not know, Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy and our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt with a report on Cowboys rookie camp at 7:20 as we go commercial free with the Expressway with a Dierks Bentley ticket giveaway. We're live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. If you're looking to check out the show, 105 through the fan.com and the Odyssey app. Speaking of Western Conference basketball, the big news that Greg Popovich, no longer head coach of the Spurs, he is transitioning full-time to team president. They are hiring assistant Mitch Johnson as the next coach. He's been with the Spurs for a decade. He took over as the interim coach in November. So Greg Popovich, no longer on the sidelines.
Is he the goat of goats? Where do we put him?
He's pretty far up there.
Well, let's start with him versus Phil.
Man, that's the tough one because like Phil had two of the literal all time greats.
Now three.
Well, yeah, three. Yeah, when you factor
Kobe,
in Shaq.
Kobe, Mike, Shaq.
Yeah.
Scotty.
You know, and while Pop had a great team.
Yeah.
And as great as Tim Duncan is, like, let's not put him with the Kobe and Jordan.
But even
Shaq.
Right.
Although, you know, you could argue that, you know, would you rather have Duncan or Shaq? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think Shaq's pretty dominant.
Parker and Ginobili can't match up to what Phil had.
Yeah, but, I mean, there is something to be said for what Phil did in terms of managing personalities. Like, he took Jordan, who... A lot of people wondered, like, all right, is he ever going to get it done? Because, I mean, what, it was year 7, 8 before Jordan won? And then the Kobe Shaq thing, people were starting to wonder, like, all right, is this going to work out? And so he's generally brought in as the guy who can, he's the Zen master. Mm-hmm. He fixed that. I mean, I think they're both great in really uniquely, totally different sort of ways. But
well, it's Red, Phil, Pop, and you got to pick the order.
Right. Yeah, the whole Red thing, the league was so different back then. It's like, how do you...
And I think of him more as the brilliant GM, making the
innovator, moves. Innovator, GM, mm-hmm. things like that.
He's like, oh, maybe black people can play basketball. Yeah, there you go.
I got an idea.
I put in my
this
head...
Russell guy, this seven-foot guy.
Let's integrate.
In my head, I put Pop ahead of Phil. Just...
I think I do, too.
And I think it's just because of... And now I hate Pop. Like, Pop ruined load management. He gave us that. His impact is reverberating to this day. But yeah, I think that.
Damn lib.
They were just so boring. Like, the team was just so boring. That was the problem.
Yeah, but I mean, he turned. Yeah, he helped develop Tony Parker into being Tony Parker and Ginobili into Ginobili. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, I think that when I think of.
And
Greg
the win
Popovich,
in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Right. In an NBA, in a sports world that really has over time kind of everything is geared towards the big market.
I think if you were to think of, and this is probably the difference to me between him and Phil. If I was to think of, I don't care what team they have that day. There were years where I would go, I'm still scared Pop is going to beat us. Like, it doesn't matter if I think our team's better, whatever. There were days like I felt like, all right, as long as you're better, your players are better than Phil's players, you can beat Phil. Pop was not that way. Pop was Mike Socia. Pop was Bill Belichick. Or, like, for me growing up, these were the guys where it's like Bob Stoops. Like, those were guys who, it didn't matter if Texas had better players. I always felt like Stoops was going to beat Texas. It didn't matter if the Rangers. It didn't matter if the Rangers were better the first couple months of the season. I was like, Mike Socia's going to rally them together. They're going to win the AL West. Belichick, same sort of way. It doesn't matter what Belichick has around him. He's going to win. And Pop was that guy in the NBA.
And of course, the all-time audio highlights.
How can you be that professional in a suit that looks like that?
I know you didn't get much sleep last night. Just trying to brighten things up.
You're not seeing the color correctly. Oh,
Greg Popovich, 4-for-22 shooting so far in offense for you guys. What's the problem?
Well, it didn't go in the hole.
Well, Coach, defensively, you held Miami to 13 points that quarter. 7 turnovers, just 5 field goals. What was the key?
I think they were looking at your suit.
Can we just assume that it ain't broken? You're not going to try to fix it.
Okay.
Pop, you think this team needs a major overhaul to be able to challenge for a championship?
We just lost in the first round. I'm not going to think about overhauls. I'm going to get a bite to eat and maybe have a Gatorade. We probably should try hard to win that game. That would be the urgency. Jeez, oh whiz, guys. Come on. Think of a question.
Being in this position against the Hornets 2 years ago.
What? Think about the Hornets 2 years ago?
You were in similar position. Left.
No, I won't think about that at all. These guys are grown men. They don't need me to say. Now, remember the Hornets, fellas. You got to really pull it together for game 3. Maybe I'll talk about the Gipper if I'm going to talk about the Hornets.
So I would go back and forth between love and hate for that stuff.
Yeah.
I watch a game and he's trying to make someone's, you know, life miserable. And I'm like, you're an a-hole.
Yep.
You're a freaking jackass. And then you end up laughing at a lot of the moments. But you laugh at a lot more of these than the Belichick ones. Belichick he was never trying to have fun.
No. Pop, I couldn't tell if he was trying to be a jerk at times. At times you could tell he was being a jerk. Other times you thought, like, is he trying to be awkward funny? And then, you know, with Sager, he always had a relationship. He would go at him.
Yeah.
But you could tell it was playful. You could tell they liked each other.
Yeah. Pop to me was, it was funny when he was dismissive early on to people who were clearly asking just lazy questions. Or they were just, they needed to throw something out there. And so I liked when he would call that out. I felt like over time, he became too much of that character to where even if it was like, that's a decent question, dude. Like, you could answer that.
Yeah.
It felt like every question got met the same sort of way.
Brad Townsend had a great tweet. My favorite Pop story is personal. Hopefully he won't hold it against me for telling it. Days after the San Antonio newspaper I worked for folded in 1993, Golden State assistant Popovich called to tell me the Spurs were being sold and he was coming back as GM. And Brad's like, Pop, I really appreciate it. I have no way to publish that because I don't have a job. And Pop says, I know. I'm hoping you can use that information to get a job. So he gave them that huge breaking story in order. So there's countless stories. I like reading the Popovich restaurant winery obsessions that he has behind the scenes, the team camaraderie and all that stuff. So Greg Popovich, no longer the head coach. He's moving upstairs to be team prez.
Yeah, and I wonder how much that's just a temporary, all right, we're just moving him up, because with all his health issues and everything else he's been dealing with lately, I just wonder how much that's, hey, here's the next couple months, and then right off into the sunset.
Miko Magic on Saturday, and you also had this in the afternoon.
Sovereignty has taken the lead. Journalism is second toward the inside. My ace is third, but it will be Sovereignty to rule the Kentucky Derby. Journalism and my ace were next. Final Gambit was fourth. The final time was 202.31 seconds.
Journalism, did I hear that as one of the horses?
That was the favorite.
That was the favorite.
Journalism was the favorite.
On NBC.
Yeah, and so Sovereignty wins and Journalism comes in second. And by the way, this was all horses were sired by Secretariat. This is not cool. I know everybody thinks this is cool. This is inbreeding.
isn't that what horses do?
Maybe, but that's just weird, man.
Like, hey, fifth cousin, have you heard our crosstalk a couple weeks ago?
I mean, like, what are we doing here? Like, the Secretariat just out there just, I mean, he's obviously dead now, I think, but gosh, I mean, just the amount of work that dude put in late in life.
It's like the whales, the SeaWorld whales, where they got like two of them that they like, and they're like, all right, let's just have them like bring us an entire generation of whales, and then they'll keep populating from there.
Muddy, very muddy track, disgusting.
This is the track I always bet on, or this is the race I always bet on. I put down the all, mm-hmm. where I bet every combination. It costs a couple hundred dollars, but I've gone 2 for 2. And if it's a muddy track, I want the crappier horses to obviously win.
Yes, you do. And
I don't think this horse was crappy.
No, these are two decent odds horses. I think it was like 11-1 or something like that for Sovereignty.
Yeah, they were. If they weren't the top two, I think they were the top three. Journalism, I know, was the favorite, but yeah, if Sovereignty, I think, was second or third.
But they did a good. You know, the odds makers did a good job on this race because they had the three of the top five or six horses that. From the odds, we're finishing in the top four. But now we get the question of, is Sovereignty going to race in the Preakness? And there's already questions that he's not going to, which is like, we gotta put an end to this here. That's a joke. We gotta figure something out. Either extend the schedule.
It's awful.
So there's more time between.
Yes.
Or make it so if you agree to go in the Kentucky Derby, if you win, you agree to race in the Preakness.
But then it's like judging an injury.
Right.
They'll just be like, oh, you want to cost the horse's life?
Right, because they will put the horse down. This is terrible for the sport, though, because if he doesn't run in the Preakness, what's the point?
American Pharoah was a decade ago. That was 10 years ago now that streak ended with the Triple Crown.
Wow.
Which doesn't seem like it. I thought that was like 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
But it's one of those. I feel like the Triple Crown, like kind of like the baseball Triple Crown, sort of like the averaging a triple-double in the NBA. It was one of those things that I was really like invested in and interested in because it hadn't happened for forever.
Right.
And then as soon as it like got knocked out, it's a little bit like, yeah, okay. Well,
right.
Big deal that you won the Triple Crown.
Because we missed California Chrome, missed Smarty Jones, missed. We saw a lot of horses just miss. And then we finally see it. And now it's like, all right, I don't need to see it again.
Scotty Scheffler making history right in our backyard.
This dude, man.
Holy crap.
Unbelievable. He went and shot like a minus 31. At the TPC at Craig Ranch for the Byron Nelson, the CJ Cup. The CJ Cup is what it's called. This is the largest final round lead. This is the largest lead after three rounds in nearly 15 years. He was 23 under after three rounds, and he winds up going and shooting 31 under. And since they've moved this tournament to Craig Ranch, the score has been minus 23 or better every year, which like that, if the wind is not howling, this course doesn't have the teeth for these guys. But you saw some photos as soon as the round was over, there were still people on the course and they already had the bulldozers out there because they're tearing the course up. It's going to be closed and it'll be open, you know, hopefully in the fall they'll be able to get guys back out there.
I mean, but is minus 31 good to watch?
I don't like it. It's a birdie fest out there. I don't enjoy it, but I guess it's better than having a plus six.
Yeah.
You know, you don't
there's
that.
A little middle ground.
There's a
there.
Middle ground. There's about 40 strokes in there as a middle ground.
Yeah.
And so they're going to make it more, you know, spectator friendly and maybe toughen it up a little bit because they do have to try to keep this tournament. And the problem with this tournament is the same problem the Colonial has is the schedule. Next week is the, it's an elevated tournament next week. And then you have the PGA, and then you have Colonial, and you have Jackson. Like, they're not going to play. Guys don't play four out of five weeks.
Was that a bad move? And why did they move? I just remember a lot of people being upset when they moved that tournament
from
Four Seasons or wherever it was.
The players didn't. From what I heard, the players didn't love the course.
Seasons course.
That in Las Colinas, and then they moved it to Trinity Forest. And the players really didn't love the course.
Yeah, whatever I went out to was Amanda and I's first date. It was awful. I'm sorry to the officials who could hook us up.
Well, there's no trees.
There's no trees.
It's hot.
Yeah. Holy crap, it was miserable.
It's tough. There's not a lot of parking around Trinity Forest. The Four Seasons was a good setup. Just the wives, the girlfriends loved it because they stayed in the Four Seasons.
Yeah.
The players loved where they stayed. They just didn't love the golf course.
Everything you need to know this weekend. Happy Cinco de Mayo. The entire, well, except for Peyton, the morning show back together again here on DFW Sports Station. And we have a brand new giveaway. Dierks Bentley tickets as we go commercial free with the Expressway. And our Cowboys insider Bobby Bell will catch you up with everything that happened at Cowboys rookie camp. Why did Brian Schottenheimer move the locker room like he did. Commercial free on the official home of America's team, the Expressway is next.
From news and notes to the coaches and players for America's team, let us go inside the stars on 105.3 The Fan.
Good morning, Metroplex. In case you did not know, we are your official home of the Dallas Cowboys. I missed day 2 and 3 draft week reaction, but Choppy, everything seemed pretty positive. People are very happy with the Cowboys draft process.
I don't think there's a whole lot to complain about. You know, obviously, that without
did,
having...
Do you listen to G-Bag?
I did. Yeah, that's true. I thought I liked the Booker pick. Guard is... It's a solid position to take. I reject the it's not a position of value.
Yep.
I think the offensive line is a huge position of value. Second round, third round, I thought they did well. Now look, the board didn't come to them the way they wanted to with the wide receiver. But I mean other than that, they didn't take any risks that were unnecessary, I didn't think.
Who did you make fun of last week while I was out? Like, what was your other big draft takeaway? You loved that someone did something, you made fun of it. What is who and what doing?
Oh, I loved what the Giants did by going up and getting Jackson Dart. I really like that.
Yeah, I think we made fun of Jax Ulbrich mainly is who we made fun of. The kid who was Jeff Ulbrich's son who prank called Shador Sanders. That was probably number one.
I'm the only one who thought that was a little bit of an overreaction to the story.
The fine, maybe. The apology, like having him apologize, no.
Not having him apologize, but like if... If Shador got picked one round later, are we losing our mind or we just felt it was so much more mean-spirited because he fell to the fifth? Like, I have people text me like, oh, he should be fired, he should lose his job. And I was like, okay, so like if my kid gets my cell phone and sees Charles Barkley's number in there and prank calls Charles Barkley, what should happen to me? Like, the kid went and got a number out of his library or his study. I thought it was an overreaction to the story.
I agree.
If it was pick 9 when the Saints were picking, it doesn't get him. He did it on day 2 when everybody already kind of felt bad. Like when everybody's like, we're kind of starting to feel bad for Shador. It was dumb. And then it was dumb to have your face on social media reacting to it and posting the video. Those kids are idiots.
Well, that's how you get your likes. That's how you get your following.
Right. And it's fraternity. It's probably some hate, not hazing, but hey, you got to do this, man.
Man, the fines and like the reaction to it. I get the mean-spirited part, but I thought it was a bit much.
Now, I know just from all the monthly like HR training sessions we have to do at NFL Network.
Oh, you do those?
Yeah. And so I do them usually like 6 months late, but they get done. I know from that, like one of the, I knew this was going to be a problem because this is one of those things where they're like, one of the big ones they have you do every month is cybersecurity and making sure you're not like leaving the league vulnerable to sharing sensitive information. Like every single month you have to do this thing called Ninjio.
Which
are these things where you have to like, okay, this month it's on phishing emails. This month it's on sharing sensitive information. This month it's doing that. And so they hammer that. So I knew just on like violating those protocols, they were going to lose their mind. And
all right, let's go inside the star. What was happening at the Ford Center, the Star in Frisco?
It was a bunch of guys just running around in basically sweats and not actually doing anything of real substance. Rookie minicamp is always just, it's usually kind of a, let's get you comfortable in the building. Mm-hmm. Let's get you some classroom
work. Try out a helmet. See what the helmet fits you right.
Yeah, let's get you some classroom work. Let's see where you're at, how quickly you're picking some things up. There's definitely some moments out there where you're doing just kind of like walkthrough practices. You're doing some stuff on the field, but in large part, this is classroom work and getting comfortable with the team and different things like that. Some guys are trying out as like tryout guys or rookie free agents. They're trying to stick around until training camp. And so there's some of that, but Brian Schottenheimer spoke with the media over the weekend and he was asked about the idea of, okay, how difficult is it to make an impression on the team as a rookie during this weekend when you can't even really make contact?
It's hard. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't hard. I think it's not just on the field, Clarence. I think it is in the meeting room. It's good questions. You know, we talk about here like we have reviews, not installs. What does that mean? You know, we put the stuff out the night before. It's their responsibility, both the vets and the young guys. The rookies are no different, that they look it over. So when we start the meetings and we start doing installation, that it's not us teaching it to them cold. They should come with questions, ideas, and things like that. So When we ask questions, a little bit of peer pressure, you see the guys that have maybe looked it over more than the other guys.
So, one here, that's valuable information. That's good. That's one of the ways they're picking up early. What kind of student are you? Did you look over the things you're supposed to the night before? Second, and the thing that's going to be most important to Sean, that's going to drive Sean nuts all this year and moving forward. Did you hear some of that bing, 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 bing in the audio? Ryan Schottenheimer is a sit-down-to-do-the-press-conference guy, not a stand-up guy.
Oh, no.
And he's a use-his-hands and hit the table. And so he's very demonstrative.
We'll fix that.
Yeah. I'm sure maybe he'll be standing by the time we get to regular season, but he was a sit-down with a little stand mic. And so every time he'd kind of make a point and it's doom, doom, doom. So we're going to get a little bit of that.
Well, we'll talk to him about it.
Yes, we will.
And he will reference us, I guarantee. Mark these words, Ross. He will reference us. The morning guys told me I got to be careful with my hands. We will get that audio at some point.
That
in time.
Is not
after the lunch. Bobby sets up.
That
for
is
us.
Not a leader though. And a leader stands at a post. They stand. All eyes on me. This is my room.
No.
This is very Wade Phillips. This is Coach Doofus.
Parcells sat.
Hey,
but they were barely doing press conferences back then. Bill was an old man who wore loafers without socks.
But he sat. I think sitting is the way to go. You're saying, let me get eye level with these guys. Let me not look down on them. I'm going to look down. Eye level
look
here.
Down. Dan Campbell said eye level.
This was, I thought, the most interesting cut to come out from Schottenheimer. It was also the funniest one. But this was the most interesting one I thought of. The idea was asked of him, like, hey, you got some college coaches that are coming to the NFL level. Guys like Junior Adams, the receivers coach. All right, he's getting his chance here at the NFL level. Then you've got guys who've been in the NFL for a long time who both of them are sort of going through a transition. The college coach coming to the NFL is going through a transition. The long-term Matt Eberflus type of NFL coach is going through the transition of learning how to reach players in the NIL era. Like we hear about, are these players super entitled now? Is that what you're running into?
Yeah.
And so I thought Schottenheimer gave a really good answer about how coaching rookies has changed in the era of NIL.
The X's and O's and what your objective is in coaching, whether you're coaching high school, college, or NFL, it doesn't change. You have to be able to connect with the person you're coaching, one. You have to have the knowledge of the skill sets and know basically what the hell you're talking about, number two, because the players want to know, can this guy help me get better? And I don't think that's much different in college right now, to be honest with you, because of the NIL. It's like, can this guy help me get paid? And if not, I'm going to go to another chance to get paid. So, again, after you have the connection, you have to have the ability to teach the skill set that they know you can help them get better. But it doesn't just start there. I mean, just because Matt Eberflus is coaching the NFL for 20-plus years, it doesn't mean that he doesn't have to connect with Deron Bland. I've been here for 4 years. I'm constantly going out of my way, bringing guys up to my office, going to dinners to get to know these guys. I know them, but I laugh with the guys today. You know, I told the rookies, I told the vets this last week. It's like my daughter's boyfriend. You know, I'll say somebody's name, he'll be like, oh, yeah, it's my guy. And I'll be like, it's not your guy. You know him. Like, you know, and it's like Clarence probably says about some of you guys, oh, that's my guy. Yeah, Calvin's my guy. I'm like, but you really don't know him. So, like, yeah, I know these guys. I know a lot of our players, but I don't know them as well as I need to know them to lead them and to be the head coach of this football team.
I'm smitten.
I knew you would be.
I'm so smitten, RJ.
He's fantastic.
The first time he lets us down or we have a bad interview, it's going to be like a breakup for me.
Yeah.
It's going to be a personal drama for me because I know how much better he's going to be than Garrett and McCarthy every week. And Mike was good, but this guy's going to be freaking amazing. I'm giddy.
He has one flaw. One flaw. Florida Gator.
That's it. That's the visor.
Yeah, he's a visor guy.
What will we change first? The visor being worn that you have a problem with, or the tapping at the podium?
It's the sitting, really, for me.
The sitting.
Yeah, so like, because Spurrier was a standard, but he was a visor guy too. So he took part of Steve. Now, hopefully he plays less golf than Spurrier did as an
hopefully
NFL coach.
Hopefully he knows the names of the defensive players, unlike Steve.
Yeah, but the visor is what it is. I don't want to see the top of his head. Whatever.
I love
jealousy.
Love him saying, just because Matt Eberflus has been in the NFL for a while doesn't mean he doesn't need to get to know Deron Bland.
I love that. Smush Parker. I go down these NBA.
Smush Parker?
I know. I go down these NBA rabbit holes like a nerd. All the NBA on NBC tweets over the weekend got me going, and I can't get enough Michael Kobe stories. But Smush Parker, it's all this Kobe love. It's like Facebook has my algorithm down. All NBA or Up in Smoke podcasts. And all of them are positive and glowing. And then Smush Parker had one. He's like, my Kobe experience was totally overrated. He didn't talk to me literally for 2 years. He didn't talk to me. And I was the starting point guard. I was in the backcourt with him. So I decided one day I'm going to be like, hey, man, you catch that game last night? Create conversation. Kobe looked at him dead serious and said, you haven't done enough. You don't have enough accolades to talk to me. And that's like the only negative Kobe highlight you'll get nowadays out there from all the reels. But it just made me think of that with, you need to know who that person is as well.
Yeah. And just the whole, the fact that that's what's going to be so big about Schottenheimer, the ability to relate it back. Like the fact that he's telling them in the meeting rooms about, like, guys, let me tell you about my daughter's boyfriend. And like the way that, like, he's always just saying, like, you know, oh, that's my guy. That's my guy. Like, be careful the way you throw around talking about who's your guy. You got to know who that person
he's
is.
He's using my number one media trick as well. I tell every coach to get the names of the reporters. He's dropping a Calvin. He's dropping a Clarence. All the David Moore love over the past few weeks. He's checking all the boxes.
By the way, in case you were wondering, first question of the press conference, the very first one without David Moore, went to Calvin Watkins.
Oh,
so I think we've got the new standard. Dean. It's Calvin.
The new Dean.
No wonder he's too important to follow any of us back on Twitter. it makes sense now.
I would guess it's the Calvin question moving forward. All right. As to what the rookies had to say this week, there was a couple different cuts here that I thought were interesting. Biggest one to me, and the most relevant one right out of the gate, is going to be Savone Rivell, which you were gone. While you were gone, we learned his name is Savone.
Savone.
Everybody's been saying Siobhan for a year, but that was apparently corrected. It's Savone. So Savone Rivell.
You tell me, during the draft coverage, the networks, the analysts, no one had the name right?
I heard one or two that were saying Savone. I was like, oh, that's wrong, I think.
Yeah.
But it was, everybody was saying Siobhan. Like, people in the NFL were saying Siobhan.
Yeah.
Like scouts and talent evaluators. Like
Nowitzki.
Yeah, exactly. So Savone Rivell obviously had the knee tear, the ACL tear late last year, or early in last year. It was late September. And so there's a question about, all right, this guy could have been a first rounder. The knee drops him all the way down to the third round, which was great value for the Cowboys. Is he going to be ready? When's he going to be ready to go? So Savone Rivell talked with reporters about where he's at and the status of his knee rehab.
It's good, man. Like I said, I mean, I've been working on my knee as much as I can. I'm going to get the Cowboys and the training staff and come back as fast as I can and work as hard as I could. Right now, I can pretty much do everything, you know. I'm running straight line, cutting, haven't got too much into that. Just trying to take it day by day, trying to take it slow.
Now, Rivell is, he had his surgery done last year by Dan Cooper, which is the Cowboys team physician.
Yeah.
The team surgeon. So whenever they get one of those,
yep,
it's huge to them to be able to understand, all right, where's he at with his rehab, everything else.
So I'm trying to temper my excitement for this because everyone said he's a first or second rounder, if not hurt. I'm trying not to overinflate the inside medical info and be like, oh my God, the Cowboys, they know more than anyone else. They got the absolute steal. The guy's already running around. Like, I'm trying not to overinflate that because
I saw a lot of Jalen videos.
Well, so here's where I think it's different. Jalen, the talk was, Jalen would have been a top five pick if not for the knee injury. And that was a bad thing. Like it's like, yeah, but the fact that he slid that far tells you how bad the knee was. That's not necessarily you're getting the same player. Rivell's a little different. Rivell had been a starter at East Carolina for basically a year and a half. And it's a smaller program. It's not like a big time power program.
Yeah.
So people were just, it was more about, we wanted to see what he would do his senior year to confirm what we thought. And what happened was he only got four games in. He was playing great the first four games of the season. But that's why they say if he wouldn't have gotten hurt, it's because we would have gotten confirmed for us what we thought about him. And we would have known he was a first rounder. It's not nearly the same as we already knew he was a first rounder and he dropped because of the injury. It's, they didn't feel comfortable taking a risk in the first round on a guy that they weren't 100% sure about. Whereas that's like the tiebreaker you have with a guy like Tyler Booker when the Cowboys are like, this is who we're taking. It's because they were sure about him and they knew who he was and knew what he was about.
But how much more should we assume the Cowboys know about his medicals in the league? That much more? Like 15% more? 30% more?
I know
it's a tough question.
So I would just say, like, there's no comparison to being able to have the guy work with you that literally cut him open and was looking at it.
Yeah.
And I mean, even depending on how he relays that, like he was in there, saw it, has been doing the follow-up appointments. Rivell talked about how he's been meeting with Cooper consistently over the last year.
Great conflict of interest for the Cowboys to take advantage of.
Is it not? It exists everywhere. It exists everywhere. They've all got it. Now, Tyler Booker, who is shot up the charts as your favorite.
The hero. I'll remember the Leo Collins press conference, Tyler Smith making everyone fall in love, and this guy is in the Sean Shreve Media Rookie Hall of Fame for the way that the Metroplex is fawning, except for Gavin Dawson.
I love Tyler Booker's approach, everything else, but I loved specifically...
You guys talked about him getting the deal done?
No, because that was over the weekend, so yeah.
4 years, $22.5 million, that includes a $13 million signing bonus, made him the first-round pick to reach a deal. The quotes, again, he's just churning out gold. We were both on the same page. Lord willing, this contract, just the first of a couple I have coming in front of me. I told my agent, let's get this thing done. I'm ready to go to work.
So he's just been so good with the media, everything else. He's got the big-time leadership traits, and he was asked about, like, okay, where did some of that leadership develop from? And he keeps referencing being a natural-born leader. But he's pointed specifically, he said Saban's departure before last season was a big part for him.
Going into the year with a lot of uncertainty and having to weather the storm and then just not having the success that I wanted and that I was the same person every day. Like, even when we were losing the games that we shouldn't have lost, like, I was the same person. I was the same Tyler Booker every day. So that just taught me how to be resilient even more than I already was. So I feel like that last year at Alabama, like, molded me into who I am as a man. I'm not going to say it was harder for me to figure it out. It was just harder to weather the storm because beforehand, like, Coach Saban being there, everybody was like, all right, I'm staying, I'm good. But you got some of your best friends in the world leaving, wanting to go to other schools, and then just having to weather that storm and like not having a head coach at the time be like, hey, just stay down. I promise everything's going to be all right. And so that's where it molded me as a man.
I hadn't even thought of, like, you don't think about that aspect of with the NIL. Maybe you think a little bit about, all right, guys who come and go and the turmoil that puts guys in who stay there and are committed. But just the fact that he essentially, and this is one of the things you hear behind the scenes, is that he really had to kind of be that rock that Saban normally would have been for guys. Whenever there were transfers and guys were upset about players leaving or friends leaving, that was something that Tyler Booker kind of took on. Was like, hey, guys, look, I'm here. We're still the same program. Like, we got that. He, like, had to kind of be dad to a lot of the players at 20 years old.
Maybe he had some legislative input with Saban and the president.
How about that?
How about that one? Nick Saban met with the president, and Trump is considering an executive order to change NIL to put some kind of...
Did you see the SNL Trump executive order?
Who was that hilarious. Baldwin? Who did the Trump? I just saw the picture.
Oh, it's not Baldwin. They got some other guy that's like their permanent now, but it was pretty funny.
But anyway.
It's an executive order that 70-year-olds can date 20-year-olds. It's awesome. It's fantastic. Executive order for everything.
Saban says he wants reform, not elimination. Which, that's good. You know, reformer's good. You know, obviously, NIL's fine, right? Nothing wrong with it.
He's a liar.
You just got to have reform to it. So, they're just considering an executive order. I have no idea what these executive orders actually do. I think this still needs, like, congressional approval. It shows the signature. It's a wonderful signature. But it just shows the signature here. And now everyone's doing it. Abbott's doing it now. I mean, he did, like, three of them.
Executive orders?
Yeah, he just showed. Yeah. I mean, he was like, you got to show the paper.
Yeah.
He's got to show the paper. Everyone's doing these things.
I always thought the president should have that type of power. And then you grow up in school and you're like, no, everything's got to get passed. They don't really have that power. Well, now the power's here.
I'm going to start doing this at home. Like, I'm going to start, like, signing papers and showing Sarah. Man, we've got an executive order here.
I'm going to have a binder.
I'm going to start doing that.
That is amazing. Walk out, you just open up the folder. I declare.
You should have done that with your marriage license. Yeah, just flipped it over to her, just like the signature.
I paid for it. $76.
By the way, Saban, you're out of the game now. Don't be a little rat. Quit pocket watching. Like, stop worrying about the kids. You left, so don't worry about it anymore. We'll play one more clip here. Jaden Blue, the running back that they took out of Texas, who a lot of people were talking about the juice that he brings and, like, oh my gosh, that's like 4.2 speed that you have in the backfield now, something that the Cowboys have really not had in a long time, that kind of a burner there in the backfield. But he was asked about the idea of just, hey, being labeled as a speed back when you're somebody who has done a lot of different things out of the backfield, whether it's pass protection, receiving, whatever.
I take a lot of pride in being able to do all the things and not just, you know, being a fast back, being a home run hitter, because I know, you know, if you want to be, you know, the best at your position, you're going to have to be able to, you know, do all those things. And like I said, I give Coach Choice a lot of credit because, you know, he stayed on not only me, but, you know, all the other guys in our room to make sure that we were doing those things right. Because like I said, if you can't, you know, protect the quarterback, then, you know, it affects a lot of things, you know, offensively. So, you know, I take a lot of pride in being able to, you know, be versatile and be able to do different things and not just, you know, run a ball or be that home run.
He's going to be the biggest thing with him is just he's got to stop fumbling. That was his big problem at Texas.
Did you comp him to anyone?
No, I mean, he's so unique. My big thing is that, like, for a home run hitter, for a guy with, like, real ridiculous speed, he seemed to be content running into contact sometimes. Like, he wants to run like a bigger guy, which, I mean, he's really good at with contact balance. He's always falling forward. He is willing to be physical. Those are all positive things. But also, it's like, remember, you're a 4-2 athlete. Just run. Like,
yeah.
Go.
Mm. Yeah.
You don't have to run into contact. But the big thing for him is fumbling and some focus drops. But if you talk about, Schottenheimer said it, one of the first things he said when we were out at Indianapolis, when we heard him at the podium giving his press conference to Dallas media, he had talked about, they said, what are you looking for in a running back? And one of the first things he said was receiving ability. Jaden Blue will line up in the slot and run receiver routes. Like, that is a legitimate receiving threat out of the backfield and on the line of scrimmage. So he gives them home run hitter. He's got real speed.
Inside the Star with our insider Bobby Belt after Cowboys rookie camp here on the commercial free expressway. We have a Dierks Bentley ticket giveaway to hook you up with, but I got to get one more thing in here. Schottenheimer moving around the locker room. All right. So Micah is now next to Dak in the middle of the locker room. He said, quote, "We moved some guys around this year. I did, along with the help of the staff. The players don't really get a say in that, but there's a method to the madness. It's a new year. We'll do it in 2026. We'll do it in 2027 and beyond. When you start a new year, do something different." This is one of those types of topics, Bobby, that I and others really try to look into. Who's moving where? Why are you doing it? Where were they before? My initial read, you're in there every week, so your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I like shaking it up. It does make it a little challenging. I always go back to, I remember when they traded for Amari Cooper, and we knew there was going to be this crush of media going to Amari Cooper's locker, but nobody knew where he was. So it was going to be this, like, you'd get in the door, and even if you were first, you're going to be looking around and going, like, crap, where is he?
It's like guessing the elevator downstairs.
Oh, God. So, like, I had like, texted, like, two of the players. I was like, where's Amari's locker? Who's he next to? And because of where they said he's next to so-and-so and so-and-so, like, as soon as it said that, I was like, okay, cool. I know exactly where he is. I can go straight to his locker. But that's one of those things where jumbling it up, changing up who you're talking to. The NFL, even though it's 53 guys, it's much more narrow than that. You're hanging out with your position group. You're hanging out with your locker mates. Like, yeah, that's who you're really sitting next to and talking to all the time. So Micah had previously been over on the far side near the showers and had been over there with a couple other defensive players. I like the idea of putting him next to Dak, though.
Yes, yes.
And having them interact more.
I liked him in the middle of the locker room. And then I like having Micah soak up as much leadership stuff from Dak as possible. It's supposed to be Dak on the offensive side. It's supposed to be Micah on the defensive side. So let Dak have him under his wing a little bit for the leadership in the middle for Micah to learn from. That's my take.
It's like when they brought Tyler Smith in. It wasn't an accident that they put him right next to Zach Martin. Like you want to put guy that you are making strategic decisions with that, and I think that that's an important one that Shotty's making. Is he saying I want those
and
two
put
to
Diggs away from Micah? Get Diggs in the corner. get them away. We'll hear them enough on each other's podcasts. So there it is, little Inside the Star on your official home of the Dallas Cowboys. Let us know what you got into this weekend in best and worst. First, Ross is going to hook you up.
That's right, Tolos. Right now, 877-881-1053 wins two tickets to see Dierks Bentley at Dos Equis Pavilion on Friday, May 30th. That's caller number 10, 877-881-1053. Again, Tolos, right now, 877-881-1053 wins two tickets to see Dierks Bentley at Dos Equis Pavilion on Friday, May 30th. That's caller number 10, 877-881-1053.
Love that song. Fantastic. Solid. Speaking of music, best and worst, let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
Let's recap at 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. As I went to this brand new event at Cowboys Stadium, the Lone Star Smokeout, and Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I went on Saturday with the wife, thanks to Brandon Hurtado hooking it up. John Party, starting at around 8:30.
Very solid.
Yeah. It's too late.
Too late.
Too late. Gates opened at 1. We got there at like 2.
Oh, God.
All you can drink.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get vomited on?
I did not get vomited on, but I did find out that vomiting did take place later on. So right. My wife, she has zero self-control. She lays out these game plans. She's like, I should probably just sip on beer all day. And I said, yeah, you should.
You should.
But you're drinking an Aperol Spritz, and then you're drinking ranch waters. And you don't even lay out the plan. You can't execute. She goes, hey, I'm surprised you didn't want to like go to the buffet that they had there, you know, inside the tent. I said, well, we did go.
Oh, no. So
that's what I knew there. I had to get some mac and cheese in you, but it was the Jake's back there laughing. But you had all these different barbecue vendors. I was nerding out. I was geeking out. Yeah. I felt like such a loser. I'm going up to these guys in Austin that I'm like watching their, you know, beef cheek videos. And, you know, I'm going up and I'm all nervous and geeking out. I can't get a picture. The Panther City guys were out there. Of course, Brandon Hurtado, but these guys from Austin. And they had to be looking at me sideways. You know, my cowboy cachet did not carry through there whatsoever.
That's your place though.
That was a dream for me.
That's a spot for you.
Yeah.
The music was great at the end, but you know, obviously for you it was all about the barbecue.
Well, Brandon Hurtado made us leave. Like he got done, he came upstairs to have a drink. Dane's Craft Barbecue from Fort Worth. I finally got to try them. We were all hanging out, and Brandon said, "All right, let's go to Haters, Brandon's bar."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, we kind of came here for John Party, you know? Yeah. But like, I'm not the biggest concert person anyway. I don't think Amanda realized if she was at a country concert or whether it was Pauly D yesterday. So she had no freaking clue. Brandon's like, let's hop in the truck, got in, riding around and hanging out with Marquette King the whole night.
Wow.
I did not realize Marquette King had 1.3 million followers on Instagram. He's trying to get into the music world, punting for the Renegades here and there, but he was a cool ass dude. I had to beat him down in pool.
That's awesome.
Sorry, Marquette.
Scheduled?
Huh?
Did you get him scheduled to talk about his album?
I said, you got to come in studio. He's like, he was seriously like, hey, how do I get this played? I said, he's like, listen to it. I said, you know, I'm trying to listen to John Party here. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm trying to listen to the actual live entertainment.
How many songs did you make it before they told you to leave?
Oh, it was probably, I would say like 7.
Okay.
Maybe 6. Brandon's like, oh, we can stay for like 3 more. But when a guy owns the bar.
Yeah.
You know, and a big time sponsor. I was like, yeah, let's go ahead and get the truck. You got the ride over there. But that was my Lone Star Saturday event. Shout out to Javier. He and his wife, Big Tolo's out there. Brisket ice cream I'd never tried before.
Interesting.
Tolo Ant brought it over. The greatest, no doubt. When all the barbecue people, who all have egos, right? We all have egos. When they're like, this is the best banana pudding of all time. You got to try it. And it was. It was like a frozen custard type.
Oh, that's good.
Banana pudding. Good. But the brisket ice cream, you know how in ice cream they'll have like a sometimes a pecan or like an almond, like a nut component.
So that's what it is?
They use that as the brisket. It made sense. It was salty.
Yeah.
You
said bacon ice cream before.
Did I say?
No.
Oh, yeah, bacon ice cream.
Bacon ice cream, but now it's like.
Yeah, it's that salt, sweet caramel type.
I get it.
It made sense.
I get it.
It was good, but yeah, I was nerding out.
Did you, were you regretting not going for Pauly D though, for that day?
Well, Pauly D was Sunday.
So you weren't going to try and get out there for a Sunday?
You know, I don't have fun on Sundays.
What is Pauly D?
Amanda would have chosen Pauly D over John Party. She would have.
I'll tell you, you mentioned Aperol Spritz. I had no idea. We were in Italy. That's all they drink.
Really?
Aperol Spritz or is it Negroni?
That. Yeah.
Negroni's
I don't like that
one.
Aftertaste on the end.
It's not for me.
What the hell is, I don't even know what Aperol is.
It's a liqueur.
Okay.
So it's like less than, it's not like 90 proof or anything like that. It's like less than 80 proof.
Yeah.
So it's a liqueur. You mix it with Sprite or whatever. I'm not the biggest. We had to try one. I was like, I got to try one. You're in Italy. But yeah.
And what's the Negroni?
It's another type of liqueur. I think Aperol might be an orange liqueur or something like that. But it's not for me, but I know they love them.
Yeah.
They drink them like
so
crazy.
Javier, you know how I get, like, if someone's trying to leave? Like, Javier basically saved us socially. As we were sitting there, we're like, we got like 4 hours until this concert. Like, we don't know anyone here. And Javier was over there, and I was like, all right. He's like, we're going to try to leave, you know, at the start of the concert. And I was like, I'll just get him too inebriated to leave. So I'm the only idiot there at the open bar, this fancy tent upstairs. ordering all these shots. It was like Peyton was there all over again. The disgusting warm tequila. And I'm like, here, you keep drinking these, you can't leave.
He
still ended up leaving. It did not work whatsoever. Best and worst of the weekend.
I don't really have a best, but I do have a worst. I've lost the moral high ground with my children in the punishment
I thought you were going to say the dead woman in your yard.
No, she's very much alive, thank God. But I guess last week we had that big thunderstorm, and like I was leaving the gym, and I had put my headphones in my pocket, my earbuds. I put them in my pocket, run to the car, soaking wet. I forget to put them back in the case. Well, we wash them. We wash them. Now they're ruined. Mm. And this is a move that a teenager would make. All right? My kids have done this twice. They've left them out. Once the dog ate them, and once they washed them. So I had to buy new ones over the weekend, which is great. I got nice new earbuds, but I can no longer chastise my children for doing the same thing.
I mean, you left something in your pocket. I always leave a paper towel.
Yeah.
Like, whether Ava's always got a runny nose, I always have like a napkin in my pocket. I always get shredded in the laundry and in the wash. I don't know if they lost. Well, I guess you can't lecture for leaving stuff in there.
Right, that's it. So now if they do the same thing,
yeah,
what am I going to say? What am I going to say? I'm 45 years old doing the same 13-year-old mistake, making the same 13-year-old mistake.
I think you're being too hard on yourself.
Would you have cracked down on them to begin with, though?
I mean, no. Right.
I don't see you like really like dropping the hammer for forgetting something like that. I always forget. Yeah, it's like paper will go in there. But for a long time, it was whenever I was using the wired earbuds. I would wash those three times a year and they'd get destroyed and I wouldn't be able to use them.
And anymore. Coming back.
No. Like, I mean, they're done when they get washed. They just don't work anymore.
They don't charge. The film or whatever the screen is gone now. So they're toast.
I'm just using Bobby's earbuds that he gave us.
Yeah. See, right. That's all you got to do there. That's all you got to worry about. I'm the dual best and worst of the weekend is from the world of softball. Oh, no. I got Marcus High School, our home high school, and Keller High School, our buddies there. They're both advancing in the playoffs, the state playoffs. Well, it's great news.
Well done.
They're playing each other.
Oh man!
So now what?
At Byron Nelson High School, I think I'm gonna have to wear the Keller hat and like the Marcus shirt. But I'm already getting pressure.
Oh, so soft.
I'm already getting pressure from both sides.
Did you? Oh, we have never really. Mind. You didn't go to any high school.
I did not. Oh. I did not. That's why.
When is this game?
I'm smarter. What?
When is the game?
They're starting Thursday night. Thursday, Friday night, and then potential game three on Saturday. But this is a case of I've got people already kind of pushing me on both sides. Like we have really good family friends, the Olguins, and their daughter, Mylene, she's on Marcus's softball team, like on their varsity team. And so I was, it was explained to me that like, hey, just remember, if Bobby's thinking about rooting for Keller, this is his home high school. He's friends with the players over here. And I'm already getting the Keller push on the other side. I had Mark Klee, Dr. Mark. He was saying, hey, you know, you got to pull for Keller to make state. And then they end up in Austin. And
hey, whoever gives you the most merch.
Right.
Well, I mean, so far giving me merch, it's Keller.
Yeah.
It's the Keller folks have given me the most. I've had to buy all my Marcus merch.
Oh.
So.
I don't know. Gruden unpacking box from both up here in studio. So that's what we'll do. Keller.
Yeah.
You send the box here to the station. And Marcus, you send it. We'll do the unboxing like John Gruden, and whoever has the best box, that's who Bobby will be rooting for.
I know.
I had to make it by Thursday.
Mike Eggleton, one of the dads there for the Keller team, he made these hats. He's the one who made the shirts that he gave us all shirts. Like he's given everybody Keller merch, and so he's.
I'm leaning towards Keller.
I think I got to split a little. I got to at least. I have to. I'm having peer pressure from
one of those
family friends.
Get one of those lame jerseys.
Take a stand.
Get one of those lame jerseys that the moms wear that are split.
Split.
Or one of the front.
Donald Kelsey. Exactly.
Make a Donald Kelsey jersey.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yeah, or a Nate Lowe jersey like the parents who had the both of them playing there. Yeah,
best
same thing.
And worst of the weekend. Every Monday during the commercial-free expressway, Sean, RJ, and Bobby back together again. And this HOV portion of the expressway driven by Mercedes-Benz of Plano. Where does Miko's performance rank all time in DFW? The magic of Saturday night as the Stars now have their round two opponent next.